Yes, it loves me too.
Ooh, ooh, I
now I
see his favor in everything I do.
Amen. And good morning to everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see everyone. How you doing? Good, good. Some of you look like you need a hug this morning. We're glad. Do you love God? I really love the Lord. If you love God, sing it with me. Well, I really love the Lord. Oh, yes, and you don't. Thank you, Father. Oh, yes, he gave me. You sound good. And that's why I love. Yes, I love him. I really love the Lord. He watches over me. And he watches over me. Oh, well, he watches over me. Oh, yes, and you don't know
what he's done for me.
Oh, yes, he gave. Yes, and that's why I love, oh, I love him. I really love. Let's sing it again. The Lord, oh, yes, and you don't know what he's
done.
Oh, yes, he gave me the victory, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. I really love the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. If you're visiting with us this morning, you are honored guests, and thank you for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. Those that's tuning in to us by television, thank you for joining us. If we can say something, we hope we can say something that may touch, prick your heart. If you have a question, if you need someone to pray for you, you need to talk to someone, you call a number on your screen, and we'd be more than happy to minister to you this morning. Those that's joining us by way of live stream from our website, we thank you also for tuning in. We hope that God will bless you as soon as possible, that you can come back and be in our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. This past Wednesday, we were unable to have our Bible class together, and the weather made it impossible for us to, well, hazardous for us to come together. The elders decided that we wouldn't have worship service here, and it probably was best for us. But we still were able to have a Bible class by way of live stream on our web through from our website, and also by way of Facebook Live. Some have asked, "But Gary, what is Facebook Live?" Well, we're gonna try to make it. We're gonna try to make it more plain to you. We'll put a fly. Those that know Facebook, they didn't have a problem. But we understand that everybody is not as tech savvy as some others, as I'm not. But thank God that we do have some individuals that can make it possible. We actually had 14. While we were actually having a Bible class, there were approximately 400 people that were on. Wait a minute, was it 400 or 400? 1,400 individuals from all over the city who participated in our Bible class. And that's amazing. That's amazing. I looked at it yesterday morning, and over 2,000 people have actually viewed our Wednesday night Bible class all over the city of Houston. And it's amazing when technology is used the right way. It can be very good for us. Individuals call and were sharing it with their loved ones, friends, people that's not members of the body, and that's what it's all about, getting the word of God in people's hearts. And so we thank you for tuning in to that. Today I want to begin my lesson two of a lesson series I've entitled, Everything You Want to Know About the Church of Christ. everything you want to know about the Church of Christ. Those that are members here at this Fifth Ward Church of Christ, I've stated the last few years that we like to give foundational lessons close to the beginning of each year, because we never ever want to lose our identity as the Lord's church. And often we get complacent, and we think that everything is going to continue as it is. But if we don't keep teaching our young children and our teenagers, and even those of us that are adults, if we don't keep teaching them what thus said the Lord, then we can lose our identity. We'll forget why we even came. We'll start doing things that are not authorized in the Word of God. And we want to make sure that whatever we do in word or in deed, that we do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. And that is our purpose. And so those, if this is kind of repetition for some of you, well, hopefully you will remember it even more. And you'll be able to share it and teach it even more. And you'll be able to give an answer to those that ask you questions about why we do what we do in this Church of Christ that meets here on the corner of Stonewall and Waco Street. And so we pretty appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you staying with us. And I know you may have some questions afterwards, and that's fine also. Today's lesson, actually lesson two, notes everything you want to know about the Church of Christ, the organization. Last week we started with the foundation. It's not exhaustive. In other words, we can't cover everything, but we try to do the best that we can to cover some foundations. The organization of this. Are there instructions for organizing the church that's in the Bible, the Church of Christ? Are there instructions, or do we just kind of do what we feel like, or what we want to do, or what seems best? Is that how we do this? And we say 1,000 times no. And we want to go to some scriptures, and we want to begin in the book of Acts, chapter 14, and verse number 21. And you stay with us. Take notes. Some of you young people, some of our high school teachers, young high school and junior high students that are baptized, give them some quizzes on some of these scriptures to see if they recognize and know. And some of us just take for granted. Some of us been coming here so long, we take for granted things. Acts 14, verse 21, we begin. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, preaching of the gospel is the prerequisite for someone being baptized into the church, being added to the body of Christ. It's the prerequisite. An individual must hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They made many disciples. Disciples are followers, are students. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, strengthening the souls. This is actually talking about Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas, who were gospel preachers. The Apostle Paul was more than just a preacher. We'll mention that in a little bit. They were strengthening the souls of the disciples. This is after they became disciples. Just like we become disciples, we still need to be strengthened. You know, just because you've been baptized don't mean you already made it to heaven. And that's why we are here today, to be somebody in here right now needs to be strengthened. Be strengthened and encouraged. And sometimes it's not that you don't believe what you, it's just life starts beating on you. All kinds of things happen to us. But you need to remember what our main goal is. We sing a song, "This World Is..." We're just passing through. Remember that. Don't forget that. That's another lesson. Let me get back to my lesson. Encouraging them to continue in the faith. Continue in the faith. And saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, we're in the kingdom of God on earth, but there is an extension of the kingdom of God in heaven. That's our final destination, where we're trying to be and where we're trying to get. When they had appointed elders, and underline appointed elders, the word elders, the word presbyter, it's used, the word is the same words, the same office, overseers, bishops, pastors, shepherds, all referring to the same office. We're talking about the organization of the church in the Bible. Church in the Bible. When they had appointed Paul and Barnabas, preachers, evangelists, appointed elders as they were instructed to appoint elders. Notice, in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. They appointed elders in every church. Very important. Listen to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. Titus 1, 5. For this reason, I left you in Crete, Titus, young preacher, protege of the Apostle Paul, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I direct. The church in the Bible was incomplete if it didn't have elders. And the preachers were instructed to appoint elders. But Brother Gary, can a church be the church without elders? Yes, but it is lacking. That there is something that yet remains, as these churches were the church in the Bible, but they still lacked elders. And they appointed the elders. See, a church without elders lacks needed leadership. And I'm not talking about any other church. Not talking about churches around the corner, Houston or whatever. We're saying what the Bible teaches. And we know, Brother Gary, I know some churches. I go to church. I've been to a church that don't have elders. And they were all right. They still were lacking. And there was something that was needed that was not there. So the church that does not have elders, have elders, lacks leadership. Is my microphone going out? Okay, somebody turn it back on then, please. Okay, you can still hear me? Okay, all right. Brothers, get it together. Okay, all right. Titus chapter 1, thank you. Chapter 1, verse 10. Titus chapter 1, verse 10. Why does the church need elders? Well, listen to Titus 1:10. We just read Titus 1:5. For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they are upsetting whole families, teaching things that they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. Paul says, now, Titus, appoint elders. Appoint elders in the church and then he gives the qualifications of the elders. We're not covering the qualifications today. In Titus chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 3, gives the qualifications of the elders to Timothy and to Titus. And he says, because Titus in the church, there are men, there are people who do saying things and teaching things they should not be teaching, and the elders need to handle it. Amen. See, the elders are in the church as overseers, as bishops, as pastors, as shepherds, and they are there to watch the flock. They're there to watch the flock. In the Bible, the elders, the church in the Bible, the elders are always plural. When you read, you either Google or look up all the words they use. Now, all the time, the word elders is not talking about the elders in the New Testament church. In the Old Testament regime, where you had the high priests and the Levites, and you had the chief priests, and you had the elders. It's the aged men, supposed to be wise men. But in the New Testament, we're under the new covenant. According to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, we're under a better covenant established on better promises. So we're talking about New Testament Christianity and the New Testament church. Matter of fact, we don't want to go back to the Old Testament ways. Amen. And if you want to go back, you read that and you read that and read that. If you want to go back there, you're making a mistake. So we're under the headship of Christ and his church. And so we're talking about organization. We're talking about organization of the New Testament church. And elders were always plural. Let me read a couple of verses. Acts 20 and 17. 20 and 17 from a leader he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. Notice plural. Elders of the church. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Peter 5, 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder. The apostle Peter was also an elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Listen to the word, verse 2. Shepherd the flock among a flock of God among you. Shepherd. exercising oversight. He uses all of the terms of the elder. He's the shepherd. He's the elder. Elder meaning he's an age, experienced man. A bishop means he is the overseer. Shepherd, he has this intimate relationship with the flock. All referring to the same office, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proven to be examples to the flock, is what the scripture says. But the term elders is always put. So while we here at Fit Watch Church of Christ, we have now 7 elders. Church this size, 7 elders is probably not enough. We at one time we had as many as 10 elders. And you know some of them have retired right now. But we do have plural elders. You think that's wise for us to have plural elders? I tell you, whether you think it or not, God thought it was wise. And see, notice this. And this is some education. And we know that those that's baptized in the church, sometimes we come from different backgrounds and things are not the same. And you're used to you're one way in what the church you were. But that's why we instruct. And that's why we are strong in this word of God. Brother Gary is not an elder. I'm an evangelist. I'm the preacher of the church. Notice this. Brother Gary is not the pastor of the church. Let me say that again. Because every time we teach this, and we want you to, those of you that's been in the church, those of you that's baptized, do not refer to me as the pastor. That's correct, isn't it? Now, I'm saying, not in all the love that I have, but Brother Gary, where I come from, you know, you the preacher, and you my pastor. No, not according to the scripture. I'm not. Now, I could be one of, see, we have 7 pastors. Some people just can't get that. We have 7 pastors. Some of you were here when the congresswoman was here, and she made comments, and she called me up and called my wife up, and she said to the pastor of this church, and I know it made some of y'all nervous, but I took a moment to give her a brief. I made sure she knew who all the pastors were. I started to correct her about the first lady. And I know some of y'all, Brother Gary, you should have got her. But just for your information, we did correct her, but not in public. And so don't folks come from different places. That's what they do, and that's what they're used to doing. But see, that's why we had this Bible. And now she appreciated the fact that now I understand. We have 7 elders. All in God. Aren't you glad that I don't handle all the money? Don't you laugh too loud. I don't write a check. What, Brother Gary? You the head man? I'm not the head man. Amen, somebody. And I'm telling you, I thank God that I'm not one overseer over this whole flock. Yeah. See, that don't even make good sense. But in the Bible, the elders had an awesome responsibility to oversee, to shepherd. Now, it's not to belittle or to downplay my role in the church. I'm going to get to that in just a second. We're talking about the organization of the church. But we want to make sure our members of the body, those, now some of our new converts, I know you might slip that, bro, you my pal, I mean, yeah, but you've been in the church a while, you hearing this message, then you need to understand that I'm not one of the pastors of the church. Now I could later on, if I had a desire and the church would have me and I went through the process of qualifying, I could become one, but I'm not one. As Peter was an apostle and he was an elder and he was a preacher. Amen. So some of the churches will get, you don't need to be an elder. Well, I mean, I could be one. Now I can tell you right now, I don't have a desire to be an elder right now. Amen, church. Amen. I got enough to do right now. And the preacher and the elder, the evangelist, must have a close working relationship if the church is going to bring glory to God like it should. I thank God that we here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ have a wonderful, close, intimate, working relationship. I have a relationship with all seven of our elders. I'm telling you, that can't be said around the brotherhood in a whole lot of places. And so we are blessed. And we're blessed to have that type of relationship. Yeah. And so, no, and let me also say this. The word elder in the Bible is not a title. See, you don't need to call Brother Barry Elder Barry, or Brother Washington Elder Washington, or Brother Patterson Elder Patterson. It's every time you look up the word elder, and you do some of this, you got to do on your own. Look up every instance, and it's a small e, because it's Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter. Is an elder. Notice it goes back six. He says, I also am one of the elders among you. It is not a title. And notice this. There is only one chief shepherd. In the same text we were reading, listen to 1 Peter chapter 5. We didn't get down to verse 4. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The only time you see one of those terms capitalized in your text, chief is capitalized and shepherd is capitalized, because it's referring to Jesus Christ and him alone. So yet you don't have to say Elder Patterson, Elder. Brother Patterson is an elder, but elder is it's a work, not a title. You show him just as much respect by calling him Brother Patterson, one of our elders. Amen, somebody. That's just some teaching. Listen to Acts chapter 15, verse 4. Acts chapter 15, verse 4. When they had arrived at Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders. Just want to show you that it's plural. See, you don't need to put one man in charge of the whole church. Amen, somebody. That's dangerous. That don't come from God. Yeah, that don't come from God. And they reported all that God had done with them. And listen to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy 3, 1 is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer or bishop or elder or shepherd, it is a fine work he desires to do. There's some other things I could get into about the organization. For instance, answering this question, somebody said, "Well, Gary, in the New Testament church, there were apostles. Do we have apostles in the church today in the New Testament?" That's a fair question, fair question. Listen to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Ephesians 4, 11, and he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors. And matter of fact, and by the way, the word pastor is only used a couple of times in the Bible anyway. This is one time in Ephesians 11. I believe in Jeremiah 2 in the Old Testament, it talks about the pastors who were not doing their job. But this is the only other place. And notice, it's plural here. And some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And so in the early church, there were the apostles, but all apostles are dead now. All apostles who were true apostles are dead. What do you mean, Brother Gary? The word apostle does mean one that is sent. It does mean one that is sent, but see, for somebody to call themselves Apostle John, apostle, and there, though, you know that I'm not, I'm just teaching, amen? And now there are individuals, there are churches where the minister, whoever the so-called pastor, he says, "I'm an apostle so-and-so." Well, let's put him to the test. Just put him to the test. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Timothy 1, 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ. Notice this. There is no capital A in apostle. Even an apostle was a work. It was not a title. Jesus didn't mean for people to go around saying, "Apostle Paul, Paul is an apostle, but you don't need to call him Apostle Paul. Notice it. You'll see the one time you see it as a title, as a capital, when it's referring to Jesus. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, according to the commandment of God, our Savior in Christ, who is our hope. Listen to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Timothy 2, 7. For this I was appointed a preacher. Notice this. And an apostle. You look at that in your Bible now. And an apostle. Not Apostle Paul. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying as a teacher of the Gentiles, teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. Now, listen. The qualifications for the true apostles are in the Bible. For the true apostles. And you remember when Judas sinned and betrayed Jesus and he hung himself. And they had to replace Judas. Listen to what the Bible says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 21. I have time to read it all. Acts 1, 21. They were replacing. They were selecting the men. And this is what the Bible says the qualifications were in verse 21. Therefore, it is necessary that of the men who have accompanied us, the other apostles who were living at that particular time, all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. He said, first of all, the apostle must have been with us. When Jesus went in and went out, he had to be a man who witnessed this. He says, beginning with the baptism of John until the day that he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And you know the lot fell on Matthias, and they picked Matthias, and he was one of the men, and he became an apostle. But now all the apostles are dead. They are gone. And so in the New Testament church, yes, he did give some as apostles. The apostles have done their job. He also gave some as prophets. The prophets have done their job. Listen to the Bible in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, or Bible, Hebrews 3, 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider Jesus. Are they bringing that up on the screen? Consider Jesus, the apostle. Where am I pointing? I went off and left my pointer. That's all right. Jesus, the apostle. Notice this, a capital A. The only one that is the apostle is Jesus, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. And so, Gary, you see, are there apostles that day? Let's read Revelation chapter 2, and verse 2. I know your deeds. This is what the Lord said to the church at Ephesus. He said, church at Ephesus, I know your deeds and your toil. And perseverance, and that you cannot tolerate evil men, and you put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. I would testify today that anybody that calls themselves by the title apostle is in error. And that's why you won't see Brother Gary, none of our preachers, none of the elders, none of the deacons, nobody in this church calling themselves an apostle. Amen. We're talking about organization of the church in the Bible. And if you just wanted to go to one passage that gives you the structure that God has left, we still love the Bible, don't we? We still can handle the truth, can't we? And see, notice, we want to stand on God's word. Because one day Jesus is going to come back for his church. And some people say, "Well, oh, that stuff don't make any difference. If we didn't have any instruction, perhaps." Listen to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. Philippians, if you wanted one particular verse that capsulized the structure of the church, Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Christ Jesus, Paul and Timothy, both, Paul already stated, I'm a preacher. He is an evangelist to all the saints. That's all of us. That's if you baptize a baptized believer, you are a saint. Amen. Well, I thought saints was just in the Catholic Church. Now, if you baptize a believer, you are a saint. Amen. Amen. But I don't feel like a saint. Well, that may be because of the way you live it. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. After you're a baptized believer, you are a saint. If you knew what you were doing, you got baptized, you are a saint. Notice this. Even in your sins, you are saint. Lord, have mercy. See, now what need to happen, you don't need to die in your sins. Amen. That God has given us opportunity to be here to hear his word today. You are already a saint, and you're going to miss heaven, and you a saint? Lord, have mercy. He says to talk. So we got the preacher. We got the organization of the church. We have the evangelists. We have the preachers. Two of them in this text. He says to all the saints, that's everybody in here. Listen to what else he says. And to who are in Philippi, including the overseers or the bishops and deacons. So you have the evangelists. You have the saints. You have the elders. And you have the deacons. In the organization of church, right in this text, as Paul writes this letter to the Philippian text. Let's talk about the deacons for just a second. I'm only on time. Talk about the deacons. Because, you know, notice this deacon, the word deacon is a word that means servants. And the literal word is only used six times, I believe, in the New Testament. Most of them are in the book of 1 Timothy. And one time in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1. And listen to the word of God. Listen to the word. The word deacon, see, notice this. This is different from the Old Testament. See, in the Old Testament, they had the high priest and all of the workers in the sanctuary had to be from the Levitical priesthood. And they worked in the sanctuary. No mention of the term deacon in the Old Testament. We get to the New Testament, the word deacon. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Timothy 3:13. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. In this church, in Fifth Ward Church of Christ, I believe we have 19, 20 deacons. Is that right? 20? 19? 19. We have 19 deacons. And the deacon is a special. And see, all of us, when we baptize, we all servants. Amen. We all should be servants. Amen. The deacon is a special servant who is serving the church. And he's serving in a work. And so deacons are so, and our deacons are so important. And the scripture says they have a high standing because, see, deacon, many of our deacons do things behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see. And some of them have things that are more visible. They do a lot of things that people don't see. But the deacons are so vital in the Lord's church. And see, on this particular lesson, I'm not spending a lot of time on the qualifications of deacon, but I want to understand how God wants his church to be organized. And when we do it God's way, it's the best way. And some of the responsibilities that the elders have, the deacons don't have the same responsibility, but they have the responsibilities to take care of their business and do it in an honorable way and an efficient way. The deacons of the church, Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and we have 19 deacons here, and I tell you what, we got some good deacons. Amen. And some hard-working men, and we appreciate them very much. Next week, if the Lord says the same, is when I get on to some of the practices. Everything you want to know in church, the practice and what we do and why we do them, I'm going to get into some specifics about both of them. Then you have the evangelists. You have the evangelists. The preacher. I did mention earlier about somebody might ask a question about the prophets. I'll say a little bit about the prophets also. But the evangelist, the preacher. Evangelist means the publisher of glad tidings. You see, my primary role is to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, and to reprove that things that, you know, it's like now with this lesson, many of you have heard before, but some of us forgot it. See, you can tell when somebody forgot it because they'll still say, hey pastor. Or they miss something. And you know why? Notice, it's flattering sometimes, but not to, at this point in my life, it's not even flattering anymore. Because I want to make sure, because am I doing my job right? Am I teaching? See, am I equipping the saints? Because my job as a preacher is to, notice this, it's reproof. Reprove. That thing, we have different people coming to church all the time, new people. Some of us, we say, well, but God, I heard that before. We act like we haven't heard it. And that's why sometimes you have to read. Some people, you have people, you think that people now believe, well, I need to be baptized in order to be saved. Some people, I don't think baptism is really that important. And that's why every now and then we have to teach and preach on baptism and reprove something that has been already been proven by Jesus Christ and the apostles centuries ago, because they're the ones that first brought it to us. And we're still doing the same thing. Yeah. Sometimes the preacher has to rebuke. You know, yeah. Sometimes you have to. You see, it's a word that you correcting. But sometimes you have to correct some people in a way. We're correcting you, but don't do this again. Don't say that. Don't teach that. Notice this. We're not going to allow you to teach that. Notice this. The preacher has the primary and the elders of the church have the responsibility to oversee the flock. So if something is being taught that shouldn't be being taught. Yeah, see, and you know, that my personality, you know, I'm pretty, you know, I like to get along, and I don't like a whole lot of conflict. And that's one of the reasons why, my personality is not confrontational. But I try my best to be nice and to be as humble as I can. But some people take your kindness for weakness. You know they do. And I try not to do it up here too much, but I can handle myself pretty good. If you try me. Especially with the Word of God. And I have done it and I will do it. Amen, somebody. But I love everybody. And I surely love God. But I fear God more than I fear you. We're talking about the evangelists. In the Bible, the preacher preached the word. Be ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. See, exhort, encourage, build up people. Folk be working all week and coming to you. You don't come here every Sunday to hear me beating up on you. Preacher that all he talking about is hell and damnation and you know, everybody committing fornication but we need to be built up. Amen. Amen. So there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance in what the preach word is. Because some of you have your favorites, and some of you tell me, Brother Gary, you need to preach on. And I don't mind that. I honestly don't. I want to know what's going on in our life. But my first instruction come out of the Word of God. Amen. And so I have to remember that in the audience, it's not just seasoned saints. In the audience, it's not just married folks. In the audience, it's single folks. It's young folks. It's in a wide array of folks. And so we have to exhort. Then it says, with great patience, with all long suffering. And some of us need to be more long suffering in the church. I know sometimes, you know, it's like now, this is a fundamental lesson. And some people that know you're not in here this morning, but some people when they come to church, if they don't hear the sermon, I wonder what Brother Gary preaching on today. I wonder, oh, he preaching on the church. I hadn't heard about the church. Oh, damn mercy. And they get out their phone. They get their bills out. Start making a work schedule. And just turn off everything in the worship service because you're not getting your way. Yeah. And so I'm telling you, God, now, there are some subjects, some topics, some lessons that I would prefer. Because I've studied them more, but I would prefer to preach those more. But I can't stay out there all week, all year long. if the church is going to be fed, amen, if I'm going to do my job as an evangelist. And I'm saying this not only for myself, but for all the preachers that's coming up, all of the ministers that's coming up in leadership in the Lord's church. The work of the evangelist is to, with all long-suffering and instruction, always teaching. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, 2 Timothy 2, 2. The things you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faith. One of the primary responsibilities of the preacher, of the evangelist, is to be training other men and women. One of the primary responsibilities. You know, some people ask me sometimes, Brigitte, I noticed you let other guys preach. You let other guys preach. I say, you not scared? You not scared somebody going to preach better than you? And the church going to say, shoot, I'd rather have him than Brigitte. You don't understand. I know there are preachers that have big egos and they ain't let nobody get in my pulpit and you know, I understand that, but I'm telling you, I preach enough. I'm always studying and I'm always preaching. I'm teaching a lesson. And one of my primary responsibilities, if a brother can preach the word and he has a gift to preach the word, I need to be helping him cultivate that gift. That's a charge from God. And guess what? I'm not going to be here forever. Amen, somebody. I hope and pray there is a brother who's dedicated, who's training himself to take my place in a hurry. Amen, son. Somebody said, Brigitte, not too fast. Well, maybe not too fast. But I'm just saying, so the brothers that preach on Sunday evenings, the brothers that preach, I'm cheering them on. I'm cheering them on. If y'all think they need to take my job, I'm telling you, listen, y'all think they need to take my job? I'm telling you something. I got some skills. That transfer. Amen, somebody. Amen. But I love this church. And I love the Fieldwater Church. I love, and I don't get me wrong. I've resisted preaching, but I love preaching. I love God using me. There's no better place that I would rather be than being used by God, what God has given me. And so don't misunderstand me when I say it's just sometimes the burden of preaching, it gets heavy. I'm telling you, it gets heavy. You get saved, and I want to make sure these brothers coming up behind me, you understand, preaching is more than just standing behind this pulpit, studying, getting a lesson together. It's much more than that. Right. If it was just that, boy, it would be peachy cream. It really would be. Listen to the word of God. Well, I mentioned prophets. Some people, but the prophets in the organization of the church. Well. In the early church, there were prophets. But I believe in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse number 8, it says, love never fails. But we, tongue speaking is going to cease. Prophets will cease. There will come a time in the church that prophets will cease. The knowledge or this supernatural knowledge. In the word knowledge that you don't have to study for, like the apostles. Jesus told them, don't plan what you're gonna say. I'm gonna give it to you. God don't give us do that today. If this lesson I had to study, amen, somebody. I couldn't sit on my bed. I tell you what, a few times I have prayed, Lord, I need something. I need your help. And nothing came till I picked that word up and started studying it for myself. And so I do, Brigadier, do you, now the prophets to do proclaim, and then all the time it didn't mean to foretell. And so prophets, there were prophets that were preachers in the New Testament, but the prophets, the true prophets in the Bible, nobody predicted the future like they did today. God has given us, so in the Lord's church, we have the evangelists, we have the elders, the shepherds of the church, we have the saints, we have the deacons in the Lord's church. And notice 1 Timothy, I need to close. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Timothy 3:14. The brother read this in your hearing as our scripture read. Paul said, I'm writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I'm delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself. He gave the qualifications of the elders. He gave the qualifications of the deacons. That's in the Bible for a reason. That is why the Fifth Ward Church of Christ is organized in the fashion that it is. Paul gave young Timothy these instructions centuries ago. He says, so you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the house, specifically for the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of truth. So we would dare not be organized any other way. Notice this. Let me say this in love. In scripture, there are no reverends in leadership in the scripture. Do we realize that? Now, some of you, I'm not talking about though you've been in the church for a long time. Just be quiet for a sec. Because, see, we used to not call in the preacher reverend, but everywhere else, many places, the preacher is called reverend. But the scripture knows nothing of that. Holy and reverend is his name. The only reference in the Bible, only reference. Listen, in scripture, there are no titles of doctor. That need to be said in the church, doesn't it? We're talking about the organ. So you would never listen. I've been admonished when I got my master's degree. My professors, Brother Gary, we get you. You're in the PhD program. We get you. We can get you right in. Come on, get your doctor. I said, that's all right. Not now. Because not for the head. But, and I know there are doctors, we have doctor preachers, but I believe that it's against the will of God for a preacher in the church setting. I know we have doctors who've earned their degrees when we go to that. A lot of work goes into being a doctor, and they deserve the honor. But in the church setting, when they're at the body of Christ and we're meeting as a church, I believe that it's error for us to call somebody doctor. Amen. You know, knowing it. And I know some would differ on me, but we're talking about the organization of church. It's not in the Bible. Amen. Notice it. You have Peter. You have Paul. You have John. All the apostles. They didn't have titles in there. In their names. There is, in the Bible, there is no archbishop. This is just history. There is no chief bishop. The only chief is Jesus. In the scripture, there are no cardinals in the organization of the church. I want you to know about the Church of Christ. See, I want especially those that are newcomers, has gotten baptized. Some of you haven't gotten all the teaching. You baptized, you know what you did to be saved. That's wonderful. And Jesus told them to teach everything I've commanded you to continue. So we're growing in the Lord. We're giving instruction in the Lord. People ask you questions. And that is why we stick to this word of God. And so we're not exhausted everything, but we try to give you the basic structure of the organization church. Why we do? We here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We have elders, we have deacons, we have saints members, we have evangelists. I'm not the only evangelist. Brother Ray Wilkerson is one of the evangelists. We have a Spanish minister that's evangelist. We have a number of preachers here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Amen. Amen. We're just trying to do it God's way. If you're here today, and you want to be a member of the Church of Christ, the house of God, the church of the living God, the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, all biblical designations. If you want to be a member of that body, you do it just like they did in the Bible, by faith, believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, if you're willing to confess Christ and be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sin, God adds you to the church. And we live faithful unto death. Now don't get making mistakes about it. We're not a perfect church. Because we got imperfect members in the church. But we're trying to do it God's way. And you want to be a part of that church, then you too can answer the call and become a member of the church. The next week, if the Lord says the same, I'm going to talk about some of the practices of the church in the Bible. Some things that we do, some people have questions about. I'm going to try to give you some Bible on that. You want to be baptized, come be baptized. If you need prayer, somebody to pray for you, please come right now as we stand and sing song of invitation.
Yield not to temptation,
for yielding is sin.
Eat victory.